Let's get the confession of faith that breaks the forge of darkness. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Was the fifth gospel message entitled Jesus Governs the Church. Jesus who governs the church. And now it's about the church. To the new families. And also to existing believers who are not rooted in the gospel yet. This is a message we must teach and relay. And in the field, to those who are nurturing, and to those who you are nurturing too, please teach them this. But most important is to taste the gospel. What does it mean to taste the gospel? Why Jesus had to die on the cross. You have to talk about this fundamentals. And as a evidence that he is God, he resurrected and is right now living as the Holy Spirit. As a Spirit of God that has no limits. No limitations. And so wherever you are, when you call the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And so the Spirit of God that cannot be limited. And there will be the end of this earth. And that end of time is the second coming of Jesus Christ. But it is not time yet. After the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is proclaimed to the world, the end will come. And so where are we living right now? We are living in a generation where we must quickly speak of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That's why Paul confessed, in seasons and out of seasons, we must continue to proclaim the gospel. And so, it's very important for all the believers to understand this taste of the gospel. And the most important in a walk of faith is, who did Jesus die for and why he died for us? And if you don't find that answer, you cannot really taste the gospel. Jesus had to die on the cross. Why? Because no one else could solve the fundamental problem of separating from God, the problem of sin, the problem of Satan. To solve this fundamental problem, Jesus came with flesh and was crucified on the cross as the Christ and finished everything. And as evidence, right now he is resurrected and is with us through the Holy Spirit. And he is with us with no limits. And until 237 evangelization, until 5,000 believers, tribes are evangelized, until the kingdom of God has been proclaimed to the ends of the earth, the second coming will not come yet. So we're not just believers come to church. No, we must live as the evangelist that saves the people around us. And you must believe this is the blessing God has given to you. Today's title is Jesus Who Governs a Church. Then first of all, what is the role of the church? Church is the source to the solution of all problems. church is a source to the solution of all the problems. So when we say church, we're not talking about the church building. We're talking about you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what is your role? Your role is to solve the source of all problems. So that's what you are, the church. Your past, present, future problems, it is actually finished. You did not finish it. No, Christ finished it for you. And who finished it is right now with you as the Holy Spirit. That's what it is finished. So it is finished. And you must finish it. And God already promised that all the problems have been solved. In Hebrew, church is ecclesia. And what does this mean? You know, there's exit. 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 You can't pronounce exit. Right? There's a term exit. It means to go outside. And ek, the first part of EC ek, means outside. And lesia means to call. So, where were we? We were inside the eternal power of sin. We were under the power of Satan, the eternal power of Satan. We were under the eternal power of hell. But Jesus called us, gathered us from outside. Right? He called us from the outside, and that's what we call the church. So you are the church. And so a believer that is saved is a church. And you are God's temple. And that's why you're the church. Then what is the role of the church? Just how Jesus Christ died on the cross and finished all your problems of sin, Satan, and hell. And resurrected. And resurrection means that he is alive right now. How? Through the Holy Spirit. As a spirit that has no limits. He is with you. And that's why you are the church. And so you are the church. And many believers in the church cannot distinguish between the church and the church building. Believers don't know that they themselves are the church. They just think that the church building is the church. And so many believers don't know how important they are. They don't know the value of their lives. They don't know how important and valuable their identity is and their status and authority is. And they don't know any about that because they don't believe that they are the church. And so they go out to the world and they live how they want to live their lives. But you must believe that you are the church that God has called from the outside to save you. So you are amazing individuals. When Satan sees you, right, Jesus says the gates of Hades will not overcome you. Satan cannot overcome you. That's the church. So I bless in Jesus Christ to restore your identity. God has called you out. God called you out of darkness, sin, and Satan. And you have been called. So how can we really relate to the new families what the church is? Oh, church means that I am the church of God because God is with me and God has given me a status of the third child of God, and God gave me this amazing identity. You have to continue to continue to see this identity in them. But if they lose hold of this, then they quickly look at themselves that lacks, that is in need, that has problems, that's always have conflicts, that's always fun to their own problems. not knowing that Christ finished everything, they only look upon themselves that is lacking. And if you only look upon yourself that lacks, then it means you're not holding on to the identity God has given to you. So you're losing hold of the identity. It's okay if you are lacking. It's okay if you have diseases. It's okay if you don't have strength. It's okay if you have these problems, those problems. Why? Because inside of me, the complete God is with me. That's why it's all right. And pray in His name. And break the forged darkness in His name. And enjoy His background. That's what you have to restore, yet we're always holding on to the false images. That's why we're being deceived. Our walk of faith is not difficult. It's enjoying what God has promised us. But we put our thoughts in it. We see everything from the perspective where I'm lacking. Then rightfully, it's not going to take place. And we call that unbelief. Even though Christ finished, you don't believe that it's not finished with my thoughts. That's why you're being attacked. Although you have been saved, we're not robots. God has given to us free will. From creation, God gave us His free will. Right? If you don't want to believe in God, you don't have to believe in God. That's your free will. If you don't want to go to church, you don't have to go to church. That's your free will. But you cannot stop disaster and curse, right? You're not robots. That's why you have to know the spiritual facts and fight the spiritual battle and have spiritual, you know, self-control and spiritual discipline and spiritually stand upright. And Paul, he said he always has these two conflicts, the law of the spirit and the law of this world. Right? These two things were always having conflicts and fighting inside his heart. But what does he confess? Look how weak I am. But who can save me from the law of the spirit? Right? Because Paul had free will, he also was fighting against the spiritual things and the physical things. Right? We all have the spiritual side, but we also have the physical side. And although we've been saved, although we have been changed to child of God, although we have a status and authority child of God, we still have our free will. And inside your free will, what is holding on to? It's the physical things. The physical things are always holding on to free will. The physical things are always inside your mind. That's why you're losing to the spiritual things. So if you do not equip yourselves with God, you're going to lose. It's not that you have not been saved. No, you have been saved. You're being deceived. And as much as you're deceived, more problems will come. As much as you're deceived, suffering will come to you. As much as you're deceived, suffering will come to you. And as much as you're deceived, difficulties will come to you. That's why God has sent you to fight the spiritual battle. That's Ephesians chapter 6. Paul gave us the message to have the assurance of salvation. Wear the belt of righteousness. Don't you have the sword of the word of God? And block everything with the shield of faith. Hold on to the covenant. And wear the shoes, the sandals of peace. And don't forget this. That's why pray in the spirit on all occasions. That's a spiritual battle. If you cannot do that 100%, you will collapse. Truth is, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or not. Everyone is going to fall. That's why when we say the church, we're talking about the individual that has been saved. That's the church. Every single one of you, you are the church. That's why you must keep your temple. In other words, you have to keep your thoughts well. You have to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You have to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You just have to. And that's God's word. And so God is governing over the church. Look at Joseph. Through one person, through one church called Joseph, it gave a lot of influence into the world. From a young age, he endured the mystery that God was with him. It's not about Joseph's dream. No, he held into covenant so much that it came out as a dream. Right? He heard the covenant from his great-grandfather Abraham and grandfather Isaac and father Jacob. And he was holding onto his covenant surely and so much that he was thinking of the covenant so much that he dreamed about it. And he saw the suns and stars and the moon bow down before him. He saw the dream, a world evangelization of the dream of Egypt evangelization. That's how much he held on the covenant. And so that all the Israelites could go into the land of Canaan, God worked through Joseph and the people later on. And that's the church. So today, you are the individual that can give influence upon your family line. One individual, and that faith of one individual, will save lots of people. That's the church. That's the concept of the church. That's why God has called you as the witness. To save all the people outside, that's inside sin, Satan, and hell, that's all inside Genesis 3, inside the fundamental problem. Through Jesus Christ, God has called us from the outside. He defeated Satan and he called us while we were outside. That's why we are now in him and he is in us, and that's the church. And so when we say church, it's truly amazing. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus said, and Jesus asked, who do people say I am? Peter confessed, Lord, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's when Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, and I'll build my church upon this rock. Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock. So we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to Jesus, because Jesus said, I will build my church. So we belong to Jesus. When you understand this, you can live your upright walk of faith, and you won't live a half-hearted walk of faith. And when you understand the meaning of the church, you live the correct life in the church. Do you understand? I'm sorry, my tone is getting higher. But the individual is the church. Each individual, it's the church. Moses or Paul, through these one individual, they changed the age. They changed the nation. And this is the influence of one church. Even if you believe in Jesus for 10, 20, 30, 40, or even 100 years, if you cannot save people, if you cannot give influence to people, then first of all, you're not in the same direction as God. That's what to restore my church first. That's spiritual restoration. So please enjoy this blessing first. Church is a source that saves society. Church is the source that can save all of society. What does that mean? Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. There's the age of Nephilim, and everyone is flesh, and that God had regretted making mankind, and so he made a decision to sweep everyone with water. But God saw Noah as to be righteous and calls Noah. And Noah was righteous in that age. He was a man who revered God. Even though everyone corrupted, he still worshipped God. And God calls him. And calls him up to the mountain and says, build the ark for 120 years. Right, his entire life he just created, built the ark. And he says, tell everyone that whoever enters the ark will live. And he went and preached the gospel, but none of them listened. Mm-hmm. But 40 days, water came from the sky and from the earth. It was like a sandwich situation because water was coming from the heavens and water was coming from the earth. And everyone tried to go out to the mountain, into the ark, but it was too late. Right? The ark is a church. And church saves society. It saved everyone who entered it. That's the meaning of the church. Then in this age, what did Paul do? Acts 13. He saves the proconsul who was completely seized by the shaman. In Acts 16, he also saves the woman possessed by the evil spirit, who's doing fortune telling. But because of that incident, he enters prison. But in Acts 19, in Tyre and synagogue, right, it was a region that was filled with so much idol worships. But the only way to save them is a church. The only way to save society is a church. Even if the politics is amazing, it cannot save the society. Because there are many souls that have been created by God in the society, but they all are possessed by evil spirits. They hear the evil spirits. They try to worship. They're doing, you know, doing foretelling. And spiritually, they're collapsing. They're going to die. And that's why all of us with the church, God has commissioned us to the field. And church is the source that can give influence and save the society. It's not church building, it's you. You are the church. Right? Gathering of believers is the church building. But what's more important is you, because you are the church. And so, you must live the life of the evangelist so they can save the society. Please enjoy this blessing. And third, church saves the world. World evangelization. From the very beginning, God has created us for the intent of world evangelization. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27-28. To rule and subdue the earth. The reason why God created us is the goal of to rule and subdue the earth. And so from the very beginning, God created us to do world evangelization. Right? But the world has collapsed because of Genesis 3. That's why God gives the gospel, Genesis 3, verse 15. And the gospel is Jesus Christ. And whoever believes in Jesus Christ, through them they will do world evangelization. But that's where there's the division. Even if you do world evangelization physically, it's all physical. Because you have great skills, because you're a good speaker, or because even if you're a great scientist and you earn the Nobel Prize, that's all physical. That has nothing to do with the salvation of the soul. So you cannot save the world with those physical things, and God knows that. So does God call? God calls all of you who have the gospel. God knows that you cannot do world evangelization with the physical things that you have. That's why you can do world evangelization through the covenant that God gives you and through the word of God that God gives to you. And restoring that is the gospel. God called Abraham and said, I'll make you into a great nation. And even to Jacob says, all people will be blessed through you. Right? God is talking about the world. Even in the Old Testament, God's talking about the world. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. Go to all people, to the ends of the earth. That's world evangelization. And God gave this word of God to us from the very beginning. So how can we do world evangelization? We can do world evangelization only by the gospel. And with the gospel, we can save the world. And with the gospel, we can save everyone. That's the church. That's the role of the church. With our own level, when we can think, how am I going to do world evangelization? But that is why God sent the Holy Spirit to us. Because God knows that we cannot do it with our own strength. With our skills and power, we cannot do world evangelization. God already knows that. So who did God send? God sent the Holy Spirit. Right? God Himself is with me through the Spirit of God and will guide me and work upon me. And we've been given that promise, and that's the status and authority of child of God. And so only by holding on to the status and authority God has given to you, we can do world evangelization. And only those who enjoy the status that God has given to them can do it. It's not only about having it, it's about enjoying it. Because God told us to be witnesses. Do you understand? It seems like you don't understand that well. Is it difficult? It's not, it shouldn't be difficult. But may you understand this. And so the fact that we are inside this gospel is truly amazing. And I don't know any other way to express this. It's like I have this amazing treasure, and it's so good, but I don't know how to explain it to you. But you have to discard your level. So you live your life, experience this and that, but that's not all that important. Right, those who experience a lot of things, they may know more, but if you live your life and experience many things because of your scars, and those scars are going to accumulate, and that's going to affect the entire future. And you won't know how important your future is. You don't know how much God prepared your future for you. That's where you fall into the reality. But when you look at reality, you see amazing blessings God prepared for you and God has hidden. But you can't see it. Why? Because of your own scars. And if you have lots of scars, you're very worried about the future. And if you have lots of scars, you cannot challenge the future. And if you look at those who have lots of scars, they're not living today. They're always living yesterday. They're always living in the past. And everyone has greed. But let's just greed. It has nothing to do with today. Your greed just ends with greed. But things don't go according to what your desire, what your greed is. And that becomes a scar. That becomes difficulty to you. And when that accumulates so much, then some people just think that's their fate and that it's their life and they give up. And think that no matter how much I live my life, it's not going to work, and they give up. But whose work is that? That's how Satan wants you to collapse. But God is the one who broken down all that force of darkness. God has completely crushed and saved you out of that darkness, saved you out of that disaster, curse. And that's why you have to change your thoughts. Don't live your life in scars, but live with the blessings God prepared for you and given you. You have to look at that future and challenge. It's not that things didn't work out because of God's experience. No, you live in your experience. You live by your past. That's why things not were taking place. Right? You've been living with the standards and the knowledge that's in your mind. It didn't come from God. That's why no matter how much you live your life, you're going to hit a wall again and again and again. And that's all your level. So lower your standards, lower your level, and look up to the Almighty God and do the work that God wants you to do and meditate on that, digest that, and find what blessings God prepared for you. Discover it and think about it. And continue to change your thoughts, and by changing your thoughts, you have the vessel to receive the answers God prepared for you. That's the vessel. When that changes in you, God will work. So please enjoy this blessing. The church saves the world. And that's the blessing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen nation, chosen people, a holy nation, right? A royal priesthood. And I have called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. And I have called you to call this, so you can proclaim my name. So you are God's chosen people. You are the church that God has chosen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. And we belong to God. This is the faith. That you must have. The more you lower your thoughts, the more blessings will come to you. And that's what's really important. But to change is very, very difficult because it's already imprinted inside your brain. It's in your brain. And no matter how much you try to change stuff, you can't. It comes out again. When you're scarred by someone, when something similar to that scar happens, then you get irritated. You stop sitting like you don't feel that. Is it just me? Isn't that so? Those who receive lots of scars, when something similar to that happens, it's not the same word or incidents, but if something similar happens to them, they remind themselves of the scars that they went through and they get angry or sad. And they get very angry. And that's the scar. And it happens. Why? Because it's recorded, it's imprinted, scribed into their brain. And when something similar happens, the brain just, you know, searches that past scar and brings that out into your mind. And you get angry, and you can't stop that. And that's what we call imprint. That's how you're imprinted. All the patterns of your life, it's been imprinted in you. But how much is that like the gospel? How much is that really the covenant? How much is that God's word? It's not. Not at all. That's all the experience that you've been through. And changing that, and the way to change it is by thinking more of God's word. Because God's word has power. It heals your soul, your heart, your mind, heals your thoughts, and it heals all things. That's the word of God. And the reason why I have to meditate on God's word is to change your imprint. Like an elephant, it's very big. But it is changed. It is chained on its neck to a wall. And this elephant grew and got very big. But an elephant, it should be very strong when it's very big. Even though it's very strong, because it's been chained on the wall from being a child, so even if the chain is off, the elephant doesn't go anywhere. It only moves around the area that it could move while it was chained. Because inside the brain of the elephant, it's been imprinted that I'm being chained. And if it has the power, it can quickly rip off the chain, but it can't because it's imprinted with the mind that it can't rip off when it was a child. So that's how scary, you know, that imprint is. And look at the children's habits. That's very scary. That's all imprinted. You say, how come I'm living this difficult life? How come I'm like this? I'm in this situation. How come whatever I do, nothing takes place? I'm very sorry to say. But that's how your brain functions. And it's been imprinted. And you can only do what is in your brain. And you can overcome it. So even though you want to, you can't. And there's nothing in this world that you can do because you want to. This world doesn't make you allow you to do things you want to because you want. The only way you can do things is by changing your imprint. You have to change your imprint. By trying to do new things without changing your imprint, that's what doesn't work. And the things that you couldn't do comes back to you as a stress or a scar. And people are living this confused life. They do this, they do that. They do this again, then they do that. And they're all wandering around. That's why you have to imprint the complete word of God. Because God's covenant is complete. Follow that covenant. Meditate upon that word. Gain strength to that word of God. And change your thoughts. And when you lower what is yours, God's word will enter you. As long as you have God's, if you don't have the things of God inside of you, things of God will not take place. No, you have to enjoy God. God's word has entered you, God's covenant has to enter you. When that enters you, then your life will surely change no matter what. Right, Joseph was, bullied by his brothers because the mother was different. And the brothers were very evil. And they put him in a well to kill him. And one of the brothers named Judah said, instead of killing him, let's, sell him off for money and pretend that he died and lied to our father by using the blood of the lamb and put it in clothing. And he said that one word. And all the brothers acknowledged that and sold Joseph as a slave and lied to the fathers. And if we were like Joseph, we would think, how is that our brother? And we'd always think about killing our brothers or having revenge upon them. But Joseph was not like that. He already had the covenant of world evangelization with them. And he realized, oh, God just wanted me to come out of my house to fulfill the covenant. Oh, the brothers are actually being used by God. And he wasn't sold into a slave that does like Uber or delivery. And no, he was sold as a slave to a general's house. And he enjoyed the mission that God was with him and just does his work. What does Potiphar say? That I have not seen a man filled with the Spirit of God. Right, this one slave entered my house. Then suddenly all my household and all my fortune is being doubled. It's being prosperous. But that's how much God was with Joseph, and Joseph enjoyed that. Regardless of the difficult situation, environment, and even the crisis of death, what did Joseph imprint? He imprinted God's covenant. He solved all the problems with God's word. With the covenant God gave to him, he solved the problems. His interpretation of the problem was already different. His interpretation of seeing the incident was different. He saw everything with the eyes that God was, and that's why he saw only answers. So he did not have pain, he had enjoyment. It was not suffering, it was enjoyment. And as we live our lives, we may experience those things, and we have a lot of the problems that come to us. But just change your thoughts to the gospel moment by moment. Change your thoughts and perspective to the gospel. And having the correct interpretation, you'll see answers. Because you see problems as problems, your thoughts become darker. These don't work out, you're in a difficult situation, you lose strength, it becomes scars, it becomes stress. Truthfully, all of us who have the gospel, just believe in the word that Christ finished it. Then your interpretation should be different. Your eyes should be different. Just doing that, answers will come to you. And the eyes, you see things different. The thoughts are different. And that's the gospel. Just have this. But faith is separate from your thoughts. And you're using it differently. So in the church, you pretend to have faith. But when you go back to your reality, you're always in darkness. And even in our church, you know, we should, you know, having fun, say hallelujah. But first of all, the pastor is very serious, and he's telling you to evangelize. And I think it's a miracle that you're still sitting here, and so you are really disciples. I don't make you laugh. I just give a very serious message to you, but you're still sitting here. And so you have amazing faith. But what's more important is what? Is you individually. Really enjoy the gospel Christ has given to you. God has given you a complete thing. Because God gave this complete thing, you have received this complete gospel, and you have this gospel is inside of you. So you have to enjoy this gospel in your life. Our walk of faith is not an accessory of our lives. God has actually given to you this gospel. Because when God sees me, He knows how weak I am. And God knows I cannot do anything with my strength. So, God called us as His children. He put His Holy Spirit inside of us, and we are now His temple. And He said He'll teach us, He'll remind us, He'll guide us, He'll not discard us, He'll always be with us at the end of time. And call upon my name and I'll answer you. And God gave so much message of assurance to us. But how much did you receive that? How much do you really believe in that and admit that? Inside your difficulty and hardships, how much do you really think about that? It's that difference. And if you truly think about God's word and the gospel, you should have no problem. God will make sure He'll allow you to overcome it. Even if you fall into trials, the Bible says that God only gives you as much as you can overcome. And if you can overcome it, He'll give you a way out. And that's what you've been here, coming here up until now. God opened ways for you to come out or overcome it. That's why you're still here. You sang or dang or die, yet you're still living, healthy, right? God opens a way out for you if you can overcome it. God will do that so that God can be responsible for the very end. And through you, God will save Japan and evangelize Japan. And evangelize the world, evangelize 237 nations. To do that, God's holding on to us at the very end. So if you think about that, what should we be grumbling at? What should we be, you know, really complaining about? If you're complaining, that's not even faith. That's worse than non-believers. Even though you receive amazing blessings. We call that unbelief. And if you can't believe in God's word and doing things by your thought, that's all unbelief. Just speaking from your perspective, thinking from your thoughts, that's all unbelief. There's no other unbelief for us as believers. That's why we have to have faith. faith in the promise God has given to us, faith in God's word. You live only by faith, not by using your strength or your tears. There's that kind of praise. It's not about crying. It's not about working hard either. That's our level. So please enter inside God's word. You are royal priesthood. God has chosen you. You are His holy nation. You're a holy temple of God. And God has called you to shine the light to all people in darkness. How thankful should we be about this amazing blessing? But if you lose all this foundation, you cannot even live the church life. We're not living or walking by our deeds or action or our diligence. No, we're living, walking by God's grace, by the faith God has given to us, by through the Word of God. Right? We are following God's Word. That's the church. So please enjoy this blessing. So we don't have much time, so look at the bulletin. Look at number one. Jesus governing the believers right now. Jesus right now governing over you right now. How? Through the fundamental work. Revelation chapter 2 verse 20. And Jesus Christ is with you, living inside of you. And the one is with you. Jesus Christ is with you. Right, to the disciples that were discouraged, to Peter who discouraged, Jesus came to him. John 21, verse 15 to 18. Jesus didn't ask, why did you run away, or why did you reject me? Jesus didn't say that. What did Jesus say to Peter? Says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, feed my lamb. And gave him a mission. The more you have faith, the more you have to restore mission. God is governing over us so that we can restore our mission. Luke 24, verse 13 to 31, there's the lethargic believers, the disciples that were discouraged, who were running away. That's when right to Jesus Christ calls them and explains the word of God, and their heart was filled with fire. And that's when they feel that, that's when they realize that it was Jesus Christ. Even though if you're lethargic, God will give us strength and lead us, is with us. And that is a church. Because God who is with you, even if you have these difficulties and hardship, God gives you strength. Fourth, He governs over believers who pray. Not even for a second in His throne. He receives our prayer. It answers us. It continues to work upon us. And to those who proclaim the gospel, God governs over them. Acts chapter 7, verse 56. And look at Stephen, he was being stoned to death. Acts 27, verse 20-24. Right, God stands up on His throne. Acts 7, verse 56. God stands up on His throne and receives Stephen into heaven. And God protects the evangelist to the very end. And so we are so important as a church of God that God works like this for us. You have to restore this faith and live your walk of faith. Not just the church life. And it's not just going to church praising and devoting and doing this and that. That's not walk of faith. God has saved you, and through you, God desires to do all these works through you in your life. And God has called us and is with us to do all this work. And six, Jesus governs over all the believers. That's why we are one body. We are His body parts. And we are raising the head of Jesus Christ. And we are all the body of Christ. We're body parts of Christ. So there's no such thing as, you know, good people are bad people in the church. We're all together. We're all the same. Right. Example: when you are eating, all the hand does the work, while the mouth just eats it and tastes it. Right. So the hand might be jealous of the mouth and says, you know, let's not feed the mouth. Then what happens? If the mouth is not fed, then the body loses strength, and eventually the hand loses strength. So it has to feed it. It has to eat. And so we are body parts. If one loses strength, every part of it loses strength. If you are members of the gospel church, then for the glory of God, you must do the work of the hands and feet for Christ. That's why all of you are given different jobs and positions in the church. But we are all doing the same thing of raising the body of church, the church of Christ. And that's the role. You think, oh, I don't have to do that. It's the same as the hand not moving. The hand is paralyzed if you're not doing anything. With the remnants, we went out to hike in the mountain, and we're going tomorrow again as well. But when you hike, first of all, it's difficult climbing because it's not easy to climb. And my feet were shaking, and you know, I have fever, and it was just very difficult to climb. But you see these five-year-olds following their father and mother, and they're climbing. And I think, oh, how can a five-year-old climb and I can't climb? And so I gain strength by looking at the five-year-old climb, and I climb. But while you're climbing, it hurt. You know, it's difficult, so you lose strength. I would, you know, rest a little and then climb up again. But when you go to the very top, it's very good. Right, on the way up, there's like rocks and stones. But in the process of going up, hiking up, it's a time of restoring everything. And I went up praying and came back. But when God gives us strength, with that strength, it's what you use it for. When God gives you strength, you have to use it for world evangelization. When you're young, you have to be able to use that strength. You must really devote. And your thoughts are really in the gospel. It's in events, it's in missions. It's in raising the posterity. It's in world evangelization. Then all your strength should be used as the vessel for doing world evangelization. That's the church. And in the church, everyone is needed. There is no human being that's not needed in the church. When God sent you as gospel church, God sent you and God called you because you're needed. And all of you have your role. And you have to do that role. But if you can't do the role you're supposed to do, then you just go back and forth in the church. Then you lose hold of the mission of the church. So So blessing Jesus Christ, you restore the church. Right, Jesus governs over the believers through the filling of the Holy Spirit as a witness. And by doing that, after the kingdom of God has been proclaimed into the earth, the end will come. And you must be used for this. Main content number two. We see the evidence recorded in Revelations. We don't have time. So please find these later on your own time. And there are seven churches. But that's the characteristic of those seven churches, and it's the mission of those seven churches and the role, and there are churches that are, you know, really acknowledged. So when we say church, we're talking about you. When we say church, we're talking about you. And it's also church, a message for the church buildings. But God comes to the seven stars, and the seven stars talks about the pastors, and the seven pillars talks about the church members. And we're talking about the Alpha and Omega. And protects you with fiery eyes. But this all talks about the church, the believers of the church. So who rules over you? The Spirit of God holds on to you and rules over you. And so, you yourself must be guided by God at all times. 100% as a children of God, you must be guided by God. But how are you going to be guided? By your thoughts, experience? Right? Guidance is not, oh, I should do this or I should do that because of this. No. It's holding on to the covenant. You have to be guided according to the covenant. Please receive this blessing. And what's the blessing given to the church? Acts chapter 4, verse 32-33. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6-10. All right, with great assurance. Hebrews 10:25. There's some warnings. You must always gather. You must not try not to gather. You have to gather. That's very important. That's the scripture that I read today. And the four important things in the church. Right? We've seen the teaching of the apostles, gathering, breaking bread. So that's all worship, prayer, communion, and devotion. This is the role of the church. And last, number three. Main content number three. What is the blessing the worshipers receive? The covenant will become actual, that we can confirm it. And the covenant you hold on to is very important. So what covenant are you holding on to in living your walk of faith? With that covenant, you have to live your walk of faith. And many people, many believers in the church, they live their walk of faith with a pattern instead of holding on to the covenant. But you're losing hold of the main essence of where God's going to use you and how He's going to use you. So even as you live your walk of faith for a long time, when you look at the results of your walk of faith, you see there's no evidence, you see there's no fruit. And because you have no system where God can work. And if you live that walk of faith for a very long time, then you cannot seed and relay the important walk of faith and covenant to the posterity. That's why you have to hold on to correct covenant and make that pedestal, that platform, and the system, and give that system to the posterity. That's the walk of faith that you must live. That's a blessing that we receive. And only Christ in all nations, 1:3-8. Christ, God's getting the Holy Spirit. Just like Mark of Antioch and Rome evangelized in the world. In the end, through one person, through that one church, God does world evangelization. And so, in this gospel church, we gather here in this place of worship. We worship, we do devote, we do offering, but don't end only with that. Through all the work, the first generation, right, even if we are called by God, the second generation, third generation, next generations, must continue to proclaim the gospel and evangelize the entire Japan and the entire world through this gospel church. We have to establish that system. And you have to hold on to the covenant of being able to relay that to the posterity. You have to live that walk of faith. Or else your walk of faith right now will be a walk of faith with no strength, with no power. And just coming to church and ending it like that, there's no power in that. There's no fruit in that. 10, 20 years you've been in Jesus, you believe in Jesus well by yourself. There's no faith that can relate to your posterity. That's how the European churches closed and American churches closed their doors. And Korean churches are closing their doors right now as well. And these things are taking place right now. And so until the second coming of Jesus, we must continue this gospel movement. That's why you need to establish a system in the church and do events and movements. And that's what's important. And so that we can do world events and Japan evangelization. I bless you in Jesus Christ that you enjoy this blessing. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. Through this first service message, we thank you for giving us the message to the message of Jesus governing the church. As we look at the scriptures and the book of Revelations, and with the word of God, we thank you for blessing us to begin to really govern ourselves, the church. So please raise each and every one of us first spiritually. May we have spiritual restoration in our lives first. And may we gain strength. And with the system, be established to relay this system to the posterity. We thank you and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.